She
has
a daughter, I don't know
if
she says she didn't ask her.
That's
how
I
would
not
have anything
to do with it.
Otherwise, you have to put that thing up there.
Yeah.
But
then
she asked him. I was supposed to go out here and be able to have anything.
My name is Rivuna Gore, I'm the CEO of Mining Qualification Authority.
Sorry, all. I also work at the Mining Qualification Authority and manage the scan and staking units at the NCA.
My name is Rivuna Gore.
My name is Tracy Lacey. I sit at the Court of NCA representing CMA.
Today, my name is DJ Menlow with the Mining House of 13 Pictures and also involved with NCA.
Of 1996, and it was established really at that time. It's not working. There is no connection, so we are using hard copies. The purpose of establishing the MQA by then, it was after the mine accidents which were taking place during that period. And the Lyon Commission was established, and amongst others, the recommendation was that there needs to be an institution which is to be established, responsible for establishing standards in education and training, and that institution needs to be accredited, and hence the formation of the MQA. Subsequent to that, after the Skills Development Act, the MQA became also a sector education authority. That is basically our core function as the MQA. We are accredited also as an ETQA, Education Training Quality Assurance, in terms of the SAQUA Act. So we accredit training providers so that they provide training to the industry. We also have functions in terms of the Mineral and Petroleum Resource Development Act, which requires the Minerals and Mining Development Board in consultation with the MTA to ensure promotion of human resources development in the sector. And we do that mainly through participation in various committees of this board, and we actively participate of recent. The mandate of the MQA also is to collect levies indirectly via the Skills Development Act through SARS, and SARS collects the levies, and via the Department of Labor those funds are distributed within the to different cities. We manage our funds in terms of the Public Finance Management Act. That's why I think, Honorable Chair, you've seen in our annual report that we have a clean report from the Auditor General with area of emphasis, and we'll talk about that later on. We deliver in terms of the Department of Labor National Skills Development Strategy 2, NSDS 2, and this year we have exceeded the requirements set down by the Department of Labor. We are also responsible for transformation in terms of the Minerals and Petroleum Resource Development Act, read together with the Mining Charter. And we have developed a Mining Charter Support Strategy. And the Mining Charter Support Strategy and the NSDS 2, they are the fundamental documents which really guide or influence the MQA in deciding its projects and grants. So there is no project and grant that goes through the MQA unless it's NSDS 2 or Mining Charter or both. The MQA is a tripartite board structure. We have five representatives from the DME and five representatives from labor and five representatives from the employer. I want to apologize also during this process for the two stakeholders. Both of them, they were engaged in their own businesses, so they couldn't join us. But normally when we come to this committee, they join us. The board has a number of committees which we have listed down there. Really, to explain how the MQA operates, the SGB is the Standard Generating Committee, with Ms. Moodley, has already indicated here. Is the manager of the unit responsible for that. And the SGB's function is really in terms of the Mine Health Safety Act, which I spoke about earlier on. There is a learnership committee. The learnership committee and the unit are responsible for this around learnerships and skills program and graduate development program and so on. We have a sector skills planning, which is mainly involved in research and mainly in the issue of mandatory grant and discretionary grants in the area of ABEC. I'll talk about that later in the presentation. The SDL Finance Committee is responsible for the administration of our budgets and our finances, and the Audit Committee becomes our internal checks and balances in terms of the finances. The next slide, I'm going to talk about employment trends in the sector. It will link to the next slide also, because here we are talking about where do we find which minerals and which minerals appoint as the most employees in the sector. At the moment, we have about 460,000 employees in the mining and mineral industry, and of those, about 31% is the platinum group of minerals, which is about 81%, and that is predominantly in the northwest area. And now with a very major growth in the Limpopo area. We have a gold mining which is declining sharply in the Witwatersrand area. And then because of the price of gold, which is really reaching an exciting level, the gold mining is trying to sustain itself. In the Western Cape, because we are here and Honorable Chairperson referred to, it's our interest, particularly in the jewelry manufacturing area and in the sand. Jewelry manufacturing is very important. It's part of the beneficiation. It's one of the sectors of beneficiation, and the Western Cape is majorly known, and we are very active in that jewelry manufacturing and hence beneficiation. And we have developed strategy to assist in that regard. The other area which will grow drastically is the diamond processing area, because the establishment of the state diamond trader from the 3rd of September, actually it will trigger this industry. And from the MQA side, we have developed mechanisms and actually started to collaborate with the industry to develop skills to support those two industries. KwaZulu-Natal is predominantly coal mining, and that is the northern part of KwaZulu-Natal. That's a lot of coal mining, and it has been mined for years in that area. In the northern case, it's a lot of diamonds also, and also manganese and related products. But in terms of percentages per province, when you go to our next slide, it shows that Northwest has the largest employees with 33%, followed by Gauteng at 22%, and I think that those numbers are declining, particularly in Gauteng, because of the reasons I said earlier on. KZN at about 2%, Limpopo growing at 13%, and it's growing higher because of two reasons, platinum and coal. Mpumalanga stable at 12%, and the Free State, which is the former key gold mining area, which is also in the decline. And that takes us through. The next slide really just shows us the distribution of women, because women, transformation in the industry is very important. The issue of women comes up. And this is the distribution of women. And amongst others, our intervention when we talk about them, our learnership programs, our skills program, and so on and so on. We encourage industry to take up historically disadvantaged and also women in this process. And at the moment, it shows that women in the mining industry are predominantly used for clerical and associated services, and the technical areas is still reserved for males. But through the interventions, we have a lot of women who have started to participate in that in the industry, involved directly in the actual production of the different minerals. If you have seen honorable members, the newspaper coverage of the accident at Harmony Mine, most of the people who were coming out were women, young women. So it was showing that, although it was a bad example, but it shows that the number of women were starting to participate in the sector. The next one is qualification distribution. About 67%, which is slightly declining because of our ABET intervention, have less than ABET level 4. And that's a challenge, because ABET level 4 or MQF level 1 is an entrance to the different learnership programs, and it becomes an important fundamental around the issues of fundamental training skills, so that they can get into other training environments. And it's the employment trend which has been spoken about the decline in gold, and I think we should proceed up. The MQA is influenced by six sectoral strategies, and we have listed them here. And both of them support the NSDS2 and also the mining charter. And one of them is that we support the transformation in the sector. We are influenced by health and safety, which are core to training and development. We develop the current workforce through different programs, develop new entrants to the labor market to increase the supply side, stimulation of the new enterprise development through a number of ventures, facilitation and transition from employment to unemployment. This is the area of retrenchment, where we train people who have been or retrenched by the different companies. And really our skills planning, if you look at the skills planning area, that is the area which is predominantly linked to that slide which I was talking about. The next one is the mining charter support. And really those are the core functions identifying the mining charter support strategy. And all our projects, they link in one area or the other with the mining charter support. Career paths we do jointly with the Department of Mineral and Energy. And math and science at schools also jointly with the Department of Mineral and Energy, just to increase the knowledge of people doing math and science at high school so that they start understanding that mineral and mining is also a profession they can go to. On the finance side, it's important to state that from the Skills Development Levies Act, we collect 11% from the mining industry via SARS. The CITA gets 80% of this levy. And the NSF gets 20% from that 80% for national skills program. And the CITA administrative cost should not be more than 10%. Mandatory grants comprise of about 50%. And really that's the legislative breakdown of how we manage the fund. The income increased by 32 million from 346 in 2005-06 to 378 million, of which it was very good progress around that. Mandatory grants represent 50% of our income in terms of legislation, which must be paid back to industry who submit workplace skills programs and annual training report. What we are doing jointly with the DME is to try to align the requirements of the workplace skills program with the social plan. In terms of our finance, the board had approved the loan of about 154 million for expenditure. We keep our 4 months reserve. We only invest with four major banks to avoid any major crisis which you have seen in the major newspapers. We have a clean audit from the Auditor General. Internal auditors satisfied that our controls are efficient and effective. We have both the Risk Committee, the Audit Committee, and the Finance Committee, which are predominantly non-officials of the MTA. MTA complies with principles of being financially viable as a going concern. That is, from time to time when we do our budgeting, we show that when we have our commitments run through and we are able to finance them from the day we make those decisions. And that's why the MTA survived and failed, did not get any qualifications from the Auditor General. Briefly around the project, Abbott, in the previous year, the amount was about 12 million, learnership 43 million, bursary scheme and practical training 37 million, graduate development program 7 million, and the other 7 million was a joint project which was done jointly with the Department of Labor as an NSF project. We have other smaller projects which we'll talk about later, but those projects include ex-mine workers to support that one of the six strategies, new venture creation, university employment equity program, which really supports affirmative action at universities, executive preparation program, which is intended to assist people who are interested in mining and minerals as investors and as business people, but who have no basic technical skill of the industry. So somebody, we take them through that process. And this has been a very interesting program, and it has received a number of support from all stakeholders. Support to 7 education training colleges, so that the supply side of people who are involved in skills development actually increases. We also have moderator and assessor grants and other practitioner grants training, and that amounts to about 20 million. Really, that's the summary of 21 million. This is the summary of all the projects that we have. But breaking those down into in terms of the achievement, what the NQA has done. When we look at standard generation, as the next slide we look at, Standard Generation is predominantly responsible for qualifications and unit standards. And it should be read conjunctively at the same time with the learnership program. So I'll proceed straight to the learnership slide, because what the SGB does, it ends up being a program which comes up from the learnership. We have done about 574 employed learners who are registered in learnership this year, and about 732 unemployed learners who are registered in learnership. That is the registration number which we have at the moment. And the aggregate figure is 5,566. We have about 378 which completed already this year, and who are employed, and 649 who are unemployed learners who completed learnership. I'll go through the breakdown of provinces there. The value of the grant is about 64 million in 2006-07. And 14,000 is a grant which we pay per learner. And learnership takes it's a long period. It's not a short program. They take from about 12 months to about a good 40 months. So they spread around 3 years, 3.5 years. The MTA pays for only the core learnerships only. That's those who have been identified at critical skills, metallurgy, and you name them in the related skills areas. And for 2007, we have targeted 2,236 learners for training in this area. I should hasten to say that out of the 2,236, majority of them, they are part of the artisan development route to address the issue of learners and of artisan. Again, on the learnership, we have skills programs. Skills programs are short programs, 3 weeks, a month or so, and the skills program are really intended to address critical skills. I mean, some of the skills program you find is on the area of mine health safety, and those skills programs are intended to be intervention to address those. Apprentices and blasting certificates, 74 in this year was completed, but in total we have in excess of 5,000 we have completed this. Blasting certificate is very important in hard rock mining. You can't do mining without those people, so it's very important we go through that. The MTA develops the learning material for the industry so that accredited programs can go through that process. Quickly, the artisan pathway. Honorable Chairperson, there's always talk about scarce skills, and people raise a number of reasons that why do we have scarce skills in South Africa? And amongst others, the reason is raised is because of the change of legislation. And we want to indicate to you that that's not necessarily true, because the Manpower Training Act of 1956 stayed as it is, and it ran parallel with the Skills Development Act. So the apprenticeship system is still running at the moment, even the MTA fund for both learnership and apprenticeship. So in terms of the process of developing artisan can be developed through learnership or through Section 13 of the Manpower Training Act, and or through Section 28 of the Manpower Training Act, that is through recognition of prior learning, and now through the Department of Education vocational qualifications which have been developed. So the systems have been there for some time. Generic trade tests, the trade proposes the common summons irrespective of the route. So that explains that the pathways are there, and anybody wants to register. If any industry wants to develop artisans, they can take them through any of the process. Employees can go through that process. The issue of quality assurance, I won't even go into detail. It's a process where we quality assure institutions accreditation. Our focus now on quality assurance in this year and next year will be in the beneficiation areas, precisely because of the change in emphasis by government around the legislation. Quickly on Abbott, which is a major challenge. Abbott is a challenge in the industry in the form that it's a major challenge for companies themselves to register people on Abbott. The MQA has grants available to support those learners. And what we have done, we have entered into an agreement with the industry, and all senior people enter into the pact that we need to deliver more numbers in Abbott. At the moment, we're doing an audit on Abbott to say, in this financial year, how can we develop strategies to improve the number of take-up in the area of Abbott. Projects and grants, they explain themselves. One of them is practitioner training for Abbott. They are very important, this practitioner for Abbott, so that you find people to be able to train people on Abbott. And the amounts are written there and the details about it. Yes. Beneficiation initiatives identify and skills development support. And this is really for SME beneficiaries. It goes through all provinces. We have learners in all provinces which have gone through last year and this year. We try to alternate provinces to meet budgetary needs. And almost every province has an opportunity. And we work directly with individual district municipalities on the beneficiation, small-scale mining, and technical training project for small-scale mining. And this is the project I was also talking about, the district municipality one. The small-scale miners technical training project is also the one I was talking about. Those programs are like corporate social investment from the MQA, because usually it's to assist particularly women and people who have never been involved in mining before. Let's go to the graduate development program. This program is to assist. One area which is known in South Africa about unemployment is structural unemployment. People who have completed their qualifications, but despite those qualifications, they battle to find employment. And the graduate development program, what it does, it takes those people, and those are graduates with technical background, and we fund them so that they get practical training in the working environment. And all of them get employed before they complete their program, and that's the value of the graduate we've taken to. The learnership and skills program, the budget for this year is about 63 million. We are going to increase it. We have made an application to the NSF, and to the value of about 80 million, and then we're going to increase the number of learners who are going to go through the learnership. And also who are going to be artisans. That's the core delivery area of the MQA. And immediately we get funding, we are going to interact directly with each province to assist in the identification of learners around that. Project and grants, again, University Employment Equity Grants. This project was to help university, to trigger university around the mining and mineral skills development area. What happened is that we offered a lot of bursaries, and some of the black students, they were battling to go through. And amongst others, our investigation was that the lack of role models. All academic institutions, the four of them which went through the mining, which provide mining training, the academics, all of them, they were white males and at the age of about 55. So jointly with the university, we agreed that we are going to appoint historically disadvantaged people who have interest in the academy. And we have appointed those people, and that project is running very well. And most universities want to take them out, that project over immediately when we complete with it in 2009. The SEC is the supply side. You know the problem between the Department of Education, DOL, Department of Labor, SECs, and CTAS. We try to intervene to improve at delivery level. The practical example is the working relationship which you find between the Phalaborwa College, not Phalaborwa, the one in Ellisras and Exaromine. And that collaboration is very important. We trigger that and we'll trigger further with other FETs. We have FETs all over the country in each and every province. We'll show you that later. Those are the colleges that we work with, the FET colleges. And the issue with them is most of them, they provide technical training in the area of mining and minerals. Some of them, because they don't understand skills development, we link them with the private sector. We take them through a number of training programs. We offer grants to provide them support, and so on and so on. And actually, we are having discussion with one college now to include them in the list, which will be the college in the B4 West area, because that is the next major uranium area. So that the people in the area get trained by the college so that they support that uranium exploration which are going on at the moment and possible mining within the next year or two. Because the MQA involvement with the provincial skills development facilitators, because the MQA is centrally based in Johannesburg, we have allocated each manager to a different province, and they interact with either a person responsible now in each premier's office with skills development, or the Department of Labor coordinating person with skills development. And we participate in all forums, and we travel in all provinces almost equally at the same to support skills development issues. We have gone to almost every part of this country where there is mining to support skills development. I mean, we go to areas. I mean, we've been recently to Freyheit to support the district municipality in that area. We've been in the Northwest Provincial Skills Development. We are going to the Limpopo one soon. And we participate in all those to support skills development. Maybe let's quickly look at the breakdown by provinces. I'll really quickly go through them. Skills development facilitators are people who are the link between company and the MQA. And this is the breakdown of the number of skills development facilitators which we have. We communicate with them about companies. Some of them are employed by companies, and we have independent skills development facilitators per province. And the purpose of the skills development facilitators in each province is to ensure that we interact, we know what's going on in every region. And those are independent consultants which we appoint on a two-year contract, and we tender again to interact with them. It works for us when there are events taking place in the province. If we don't know about it, they know about it earlier. They help with workplace skills program. They help with almost everything. It's like an extension of the MQA. Bursaries and practical training, that's the number which we offered last year. The previous year, it was standing at 795. But this year is 390. Last year is 394. This year is a bit less because really about funding issues, and we want to stabilize that number to about 350 per year to offer the bursary. And that's a good number. It's the highest number. It's one of the high numbers in terms of comparison of bursaries in the industry. And they cut along all provinces. And really, we get students at the universities and technical level. MTA accredited provider. That is the breakdown. We have challenges, and we have drawn attention to few provinces which we need to increase the accredited providers. And one of them is the Eastern Cape, because there is a lot of small scale mining in the area. KZN, because KZN actually predominantly use the Northern Wheat Bank, Mpumalanga, for its skills development intervention. And we are working together with a number of mining industry in the area to actually have more accredited institutions. And also the Western Cape. The Western Cape, we actually have two accredited institutions, all of them in the jewelry industry. And we have program approval with the FETs in the area in the Western Cape. Those are registered assessors and moderators. Registered moderators and assessors, those are one of the important networks which you need to have for an institution to be accredited. Where there are less accredited institutions, it's reflected by the less number of accredited moderators and assessors. The advantage with moderators and assessors is that they move across provinces and they support the whole skills development fraternity in terms of training. Learnership in skills program, and this is the aggregate number of all the people that went through the learnership and the skills program jointly together, and it has been spread in terms of provinces. Breakdown, there's 34,116 and of blacks, and that number, which is about just less than 36,000, reflects all the learnerships we have got taken through through the program. Yeah. Oh, learnership in skills programs, yeah. Learners in learnership is about 1,544. It links to the number I spoke about it. This is the one for the previous financial year, and we are going to increase them this year to about 2,500, 2,800 after getting the NSF funding. Learners who completed the learnership, those are the numbers. So that number will always be low, but the pipeline increases. So the more you increase the people you are taking on the who are starting the learnership in the next 2-3 years, the pipeline increases. And according to our predictions, that pipeline will actually best next year, where we'll have most people completing their learnership who have started in the previous 2 or 3 years ago. Apprentices in the mining industry I spoke about. Those are very few in terms of the Manpower Training Act. Those are the numbers of the apprenticeships that are coming through the program. Graduates in training. That's the spread. Those are very few in numbers also. And in terms of prioritization, and we think we're going to really balance those numbers to about 100 for graduates in training. That's the advert learners, which are in the system at the moment, which are taking through the system, and those are the major challenge area of the MQA, as I spoke about earlier on. The practitioners, we are going to stop the practitioners at the end of next year, because it's really to assist. And so that the ABET learners in the project, the people who teach them ABET and so on and so on. Initially, when I spoke about projects and say those are the smaller projects which we are referring to, I'm going to small scale miners now. That is the breakdown. This is the breakdown now which we have around small scale miners. And those are the provinces which we have gone through, and that was 6-7, and even in the previous year 5-6, we have also covered more or less the same numbers and the number of people. it really helped. One of the major advantages with those programs is that there's a lot of what my colleagues from the DME, from the inspectorate side, will view as illegal mining. When we, after training them, they start to mine legally. And that meets the requirements of legal mining. And that happens particularly in the Eastern Cape, Northern KwaZulu-Natal, Northern Cape and Northwest, in Northern Cape and Northwest in the Diamond area, and KZN in the coal area, and also Eastern Cape in coal. Mineral beneficiation projects, predominantly diamond sorting and the related areas, those are the numbers. Project management in women in mining, learners, and this we did jointly with SAWIMA to support women to understand project management in balancing all the issues around skills development. The ex-mine workers project, that is around district municipality. We have done it in a number of provinces and a number of district municipalities which have collaborative relationship with them. Mining related SETs, I show you the list, and that's the split per province. And really, in conclusion, I would say that the major challenge for the MQA is really to start focusing on the area of beneficiation. And unless we support that area, and the implementation of beneficiation in this country will be a major challenge. And that's when I say thank you for giving me the opportunity to present. Thank you.
If I look at your annual report, one thing really shocks me is if you look at your page, on your page 8, your board member, there is no gender sensitivity at all. And it goes definitely against what the department has been saying. If you look at your sectors, your tripartite alliance here, not a political your state, this is one woman. She has just stepped in an ocean. The rest from the labor, from employers. I'm telling you, it says there is nothing that says women can participate in MQA the way it is here. And it really needs to be considered. I would propose if DME, for instance, could reconsider as a state, at least two women, all fine, at least two, because I've looked. There's 5-5-5, which is a very good equality kind of alliance. No one is seen as a boss yet, and I would assume no one is seen as dominating the other, which is one good thing with this alliance. Unlike the other alliances, which is where we assume each other, supporting each other. But then again, if you could just clarify to me on page 13. On challenges. If the MQA will collaborate with the South African Graduate Development Association, can we have at least some kind of time frame so that we will at least know when you next come next year, this will have been done, and on a visa, the 6% and your 6%, does it really say to us if there is that? There's also employment of those graduates. Because it's training something train them with something else. Employment is what is important for us. Because there's a lot of graduates. I understand the constitution of our country. You have many graduates in the first place. Your people have studied your history, your culture. They're not speaking to what is the challenge in the country. I've spoken about that, and at least on the page 14, at least, on managers, there's some kind of 50-50. With your manager, the specialist, that's good. But then it comes to executive management. It's a man of quiet, a boy of quiet, I should say, but a man of boy of quiet, which is not acceptable. Now let me ask you my questions now. Those are just my comments. If you look at the Eastern Cape, you seem to be more on the Nelson Mandela part of the country. That is your partner's office. The way I write. I might be wrong, you correct me. And I am saying, why would you focus on that side? My question being, you know, if you look at the Eastern Cape as this is, many people in the Eastern Cape were migrant workers. Some are still, if you drive through the Eastern Cape now, particularly the rural areas of the Eastern Cape, many homes and houses are locked. People are still in Johannesburg in Cape Town. So why are you not concentrating on the rural areas? Let me make an example for you. If you look at the Oak Tambo district, there's a problem there. I know it's not your problem. The MP would have to answer that because they have the resolution to that. If there's any resolution, I'm not sure whether that is. You know, there are those ex-miners who are still complaining. When Parliament was in the Eastern Cape last month, they went there to demonstrate. Those are ex-miners, whether paid or not paid, I'm not speaking about that. But I'm saying in rural areas, there seems to be very little happening. I say this also because I also come from a rural area of the Eastern Cape, even though my home is in Cape Town. I went to school there. And I heard you speaking about your investment with the four major banks. I would assume that would be your AXA, your NetBank, your Standard Bank, and FNB. Why are you also not assisting your investors Teva Bank? Most miners would have been recruited through Teva in the past. And, you know, there's something I always disagree with. When people look at rural people and rural women, they are trained only for peace. And I disagree with that. I think it's about time, particularly now, when we have a government that is for the people to kill them in other areas. It can't be because we are, let me say for instance, a Khoisan woman coming from an area where my parents were. There's grey there. You therefore see me as this woman. Can only make clay pot, or because I'm illiterate, and mostly it was assumed that illiterate people are very good with people. Are there no other ways of killing those women in the rural areas other than that? My last one, on page 34. There's something I think I can, you see, without being racist, because I am not a racist, I can assure you. I also disagree with what this kind of picture was being shown. It's really white. It has one or two women. I think it's one. maybe when some of the thoughts come, we should also be very sensitive to this kind of people. Well, they give you another picture, which must be true. So I think when editing, you will have to look at this. Yeah. Let me pause for now. Can I take other hands to become with Goloni, Stella, Lillian, and become with Jamiri?
Maybe
you should also introduce yourself in the same country.
Okay. I am Goloni, which is from Northwest. And from that day, formerly stronger, mining area. My office is around town, but all the rest of the city, where we had never small scale mining. So I feel some of our things I did have talked about the direction we had here with the previous policy. So everyone will yes, I must really appreciate the presentation. So I was quite an idea. I was of when was this entity established? I did that. I wanted to check what is your relationship with him of my different diets? So as you check if they as well have any impact or any way of informing the progress, because a lot of questions alluded to by the shepherd. Really, I know very well that it is fair to make us of the Jehovah. I also noticed your silence in terms of the program of your father, your father. Yes, I because when you talked about graduate training program and all that, it came to my mind that they are really asserting this problem of having a lot of graduates in the country who now have to be retrained. But to me, that could better be addressed in a way where this entity should find a will to introduce the correct Now, again, in terms of this unemployed benefit, what is the criteria? What kind of
my question is from the profile. If you look on the breakdown of not just to say human and attention. If those people in provinces whom you said they are in the district municipalities, premier's offices, if those people who can, as members of parliament, get to know who they are, what are their contacts, so that as we go to our different constituencies, we are able to interact with them to see the results of the training that these people have, this learner has gone through, whether, as you're saying, unemployed, these were employed, whether really is a true reflection of what we are hearing. Because I think and I believe that there should be a follow-up after these people have been trained to make sure that the employment is sustainable, and what are we doing with those who have been trained and not employed. Yeah, and also we think that we can just can comment on really why the male numbers are higher than the male numbers are low. What can you do to assist?
Thank you. Mm-hmm. Thank you, Mr. Jefferson. My question here is on math and science. How is it promoted in addressing the MQA, it's so that the people don't remain hard laborers only. The other question is, in MQA, I may be a little bit far from this one, but I will understand if it's not included in the curriculum. It is on education in global warming. In relation to coal mines, especially coal mines, because it seems there's a threat worldwide now in relation to global warming. The other question, Oliver Chesterton, is the compensation of transition from employment to unemployment. If the members can please explain more in detail around that area, please. Then how are people considered who receive land through the landing process on rich minerals? Are they considered here to get some training how to work on the land they have And the exchange program, how does it work? If you can just have a slight, very short information on that. And the MQA achievement for 2006-2007, how many DEEs were supported? And it seems 6 enterprises were supported. These enterprises, can you just have an idea who they are, or which are the enterprises they were supported? And then the last question on the chat system is, the learners who are to complete their training by 2010, I want to call in there with honorable member Kemba in relation to the breakdown. Is there a criteria how they recruit these members, these learners, in relation to gender and youth? These learners are going to be trained in jewelry manufacturing for 2010. Thank you very much, Deborah.
The first issue would be on the way forward that we can move on and others, or not to end before. I think we'll be thinking about the grant at the fourth. And I noticed that when it came to this issue of the mining charter support, or in general, I'm sure the CEO just forgot to mention the inclusion of people with disabilities and other, tourism, mention women and so on, but whilst I was still sleeping, I didn't hear the CEO talking about disabled people. But the issue of the service provider, what's the plan, to improve this situation? It is real and abnormally. Even for KZN, just to have one, to rely on one. There's no competition with, end up in a monopolistic situation. In other areas, even look at the other learners, still the same KZN, and what with Natal, Eastern Cape, Western Cape, there's nothing on other 3 and 4. Where are we really taking these people to, There's a critical issue of mineral beneficiation. What's the plan now to address this? There's no way that we can just leave beneficiation just like that. There's no beneficiation in this province. And we recently passed a law. That's what that means. Now, I'll go to your audit report. And on page 50, there's this issue about attendance to the audit committee. Now, I see that some members do not attend. Maybe they send in apologies, but they on page 50, it reflects as zero attendance. I take it that I see that some members have attended 5 meetings. I take it that so far 5 meetings that by then were held, but then there's zero attendance. What happened in such a very important committee, audit committee? Still on our annual report, the legal actions against MQA, what led to these legal actions? That actually took place this year in July by the service provider. And the other question would be, do you have an asset register at MQA? Because it is a challenge for the department as a whole. Another question would be, do you have any staff data? And if any, how do you recover, taking into account that as part of the Department of Labor,
some sub-members in advance, etc. But that is society and how she will cover it. Is that the case? And lastly, do you have either female work, a peace certification committee or evaluation committee or an administration committee in our supply chain management? Or is it one committee that does the certification, that evaluates this piece or this tender, and that also adjudicates? Thanks.
Thank you very much. Firstly, let me apologize for coming late. I hope the meeting might be very serious. My questions are two. Oh, I am Joyce Bia from the Togo province. The first one is based on what would otherwise have been page 23 of this document which we used to then. My number in itself is made not the correct one. Where it is entitled Project and Grant. Now, on top there, it talks about the partnership you have with the district municipalities, where they help in identifying and supporting the skills development of unemployment. Now, in that context, what role do municipalities specifically play? I am asking this question because about 25 kilometers from my constituency office, we have a mine called Chikundi. Now, I haven't come across anything which suggests that the municipalities, but the district municipalities there, might be having some intercourse with you in the process of getting these manual assets. Perhaps I might not have been to relevant offices or meeting relevant individuals. It might very well be my inadequate access to that municipality. But if I know, I think I would do things a little better. And the second question is on what would change 20. It's entitled for Abet Milestones and Achievements. Now the first point there says that as of 2006-2007, 15.4 plus learners were planned to be in programs 1 to 4. In the same note, we are aware, according to the report, that in the same year, only 7.845 managed to go through. Now, my question is, what factors contributed to what I believe to be 8 point something or even 7 point something, more or less, the same number as those who managed to go through? What factors contributed to their not being able to go through? And secondly, does the department have the fallback position, or it is just yeah and amen that we managed to go through? Thank you.
Chairperson, I'm sorry, there's one question that the CEO said you didn't talk about, and you didn't talk about the auditor general's report on the emphasis of the matter, and two, the irregular expenditure on the auditor's report.
Can we
proceed
to the CEO?
Thanks, Honorable Chair. We agree that I'll present and they'll answer all the questions. Our team, we'll start from our board members. They'll respond to whatever they can respond, and I'll pick up the last question.
Thank you, Chair. I'm
Ile.
The question around the board members of things. And I want to assure you that the state has finished addressing this matter because they've now appointed 2 women to serve on the presidential board.
Thank you. Side, we have 2 women on the board. I don't know if that's you who
folks to make a group to inform you as to what employers have done and what the employee of organizations have done. And that's regarding the gender issue. Regarding the ECK violence prevention related issue, the gaming zone is unfortunately not direct because many of the issues raised by the ECK violence related to compensation in terms of occupational injuries and diseases, and many of that relates to the function of the Department of Labor and also the Department of Health in terms of occupational lung diseases. The role that the GME has chosen to take is involvement in a select staff team where if claims come in post employment, maybe a good few years after employment, what we try and do is trace that individual's work history to see when the accident actually took place in mind. And the big challenge for us is that oftentimes the information that we get is quite sketchy. This is an issue that we've already raised with the Department of Labor, that if we get proper information, we can say when that individual works on which line and then try and provide the statistics and the data around that particular accident to try and ensure that those kind of things don't exist. So this is where the GME is involved.
Hi, Manager. Around the issue of X minus as well, there was they raised an issue around incapacitation, and CME, the policy units of CME, have since reviewed the policy around incapacitation, and a study was done, a research study which has been completed. And we're hoping with the engagement of the tripartite structure that something around medical incapacitation due to injury and not to the injury.
Thank you. And
Thank
as the CEO said, we'll try and answer those questions if we can. On the issue of education specifically on global warming, there isn't a module or issue relating directly to that, but what there is on the whole environmental management, which includes greenhouse gases, of which will actually contribute to that. So it's covered in part in some of the environmental claims. The other issue raised was regarding land claims. Now, as you know, that in terms of granting of licenses, when an individual obtains land, they don't have an automatic right to mineral wealth on that land. They would have to apply for a license to mine, as with any other person. And part of the license granting permission is the minimum requirements in terms of can they appoint certain people with certain levels of qualification. And that is where the role of the MQA especially comes in, to be able to make available those kind of qualifications. And when they apply for a license to mine, they also access that they can go and have themselves trained. As was mentioned by the CEO, for example, the executive preparation program is one of those which have been used previously to allow people to understand how it is that a mine has been used.
Thank you.
So my response will be around the finance related question. The first one that I picked up was about the investment with the three major banks. Okay, in terms of the federal regulations, we did not allow the receiver to invest anywhere. Such that when we open banking accounts, we have to obtain approval from the national treasurer to open that bank account. So that could be the reason why we're not investing with Kepa. Can you tell me what has been done with the formula that any of the formula? The other question I picked up was about the asset register. If we have any asset register, I refer you to page 75 of the annual report and note number 8 where it shows our the assets that we have at the M2A. The auditor general this year's audit, the asset register was one of the focus areas by the auditor general. But they couldn't find any of any issue that was not acceptable to them. staff that have ever, a person has affected me for any staff that has, I refer you here to page 76. There's note 9 there. That's two staff that have ever held out a man. In terms of our policy, we don't give staff loan. We have staff members, but it has a family problem. We advance them, and then we deduct that money in the same month. That balance of 10,000 okay, because maybe the payroll is on the 25th and someone comes on the 28th to request an advance, which we're going to take back from their salary in the next month. Okay, the other question was around the audit report, the emphasis of matter. Okay, the first issue that the AG raised there was about the conditions of revenue. I just want to take you through how we, the visa collect their revenue. The employers, the companies, they pay their levies to SARS every month. Then SARS collects their data and then they transfer the data to the Department of Labor, and then the money transferred to the Department of Labor or Department of Labor towards from the National Revenue Fund. And then the money comes to the Mining Facilities Authority. In terms of the fees on end levies, SARS is appointed as a collecting agency. So the speakers are not in a position to know who has contributed what. Such that subsequent to this, and the AG argues to that the accounting policy of the speakers has changed. I take you to the notice about the change in accounting policy. Note 1.3.1, which should be on page 65. Note 1.3.3 says there's a future fee implemented in income policy. In a nutshell, what this note says is that the features are not responsible for revenue beyond what beyond the information they get from the Department of Labor. So in future, that emphasis of meta point will not be applicable. And almost all, I think this one, all the features got that emphasis of meta. It was a feature fraud program. The next point about the emphasis of meta relates to irregular expenditure. This is another tricky situation that the state has faced, because that arises out of the grant regulation. Okay, in this point, let me take you to let me take you to 1.3.3 as well. The grant regulations imply that our reserve should be on a cash basis. It refers to fund money. But when we prepare our financial statements, we prepare them on accrual basis. So, if you go to note 2 on the annual financial statement and look at the financial, note 2 should be on page 71. The administration portion, that is column 2. If you look at the financial statement that has been prepared in terms of the accrual accounting, you find that we recorded a profit of 2.7 million, which didn't exceed our admin expenditure. But then, because of the terminology, of the way the grant regulations have been set up, they refer to fund money. So the AG has to do a calculation interpreting that grant regulation. So in summary, it didn't mean that we actually exceeded our admin expenses. but it's just if the bank regulation can be reworded to reflect, because we prepare financial statements on a call basis, but the bank regulation talk as if reserves are on test basis. So it's just a technicality that needs to be corrected if legislation changes.
There's a few technical issues that I think I'd like to go through, and what I haven't covered, legal can also afford some assistance there. With regards to the concern around the MQA focusing on training for women around bead making and clay pots, etc. We do actually concur that's what's been happening in the past. However, we're trying to improve and take it further. And if you look at page 31, we're trying to look at diamond evaluation, which is also another huge part of the beneficiation strategy. So we're starting there. We're looking at various other training programs to take this forward, and a lot of that focus is being placed with these issues in the current financial year, so you won't see much of it reported in the last financial year. So we're reading that type of comment and trying to take it forward. With regards to your comment on the picture on page 34, I have to agree with you as well that we're not very sensitive, and we did have other pictures that we could have put in there to reflect that in fact we, whilst we don't have a very good type of equity profile that we're looking at, we are improving in that area. So perhaps we at the NQA could look at that, in the short term to see what we can do around that particular issue. There was an issue raised around the relationship, the NCA's relationship with the Chamber of Mines. With regard to that, in our processes, in our standing committees, in the various areas, you will see that we have employer representation, which is actually coordinated through the Chamber of Mines for us. So right from the inception or the development or the influencing of the learning programs, the qualifications, the unit standards, the Chamber of Mines, employers, as well as the various other constituencies, labor, as well as the department, we have a fair representation so that it informs our processes within the NQA. There was a next question around the SALWIMA and how are we trying to link up to them. Yes, SALWIMA has come onto our radar or recently or in the last financial year. In fact, August this year, we had a meeting with the chairperson of SALWIMA that's looking at a few different issues. So at the NQA management level, we're looking at the concerns of SALWIMA and how we're going to take this forward. And from the standard setting point of view, there has been a need identified, and we're currently looking at putting a program in place. And as that gets onto the table, further activities downstream will take place as we go forward. There was another question around unemployed to employed, and the concern that was raised was how do you incubate manage this process? How do we understand or ensure that learners, unemployed learners that we put into our program, do actually get employed at some stage? We we have unfortunately not been doing this very well in the past, but we've put a system in place currently, and this is monitored through the learnership unit at the MQA to track these learners. The current learners, unemployed learners going through this process, go through this tracking system that we've put in place, and hopefully in our next annual report we'll manage to report on the impact, etc., in terms of that learning. Another issue around ABET, how is math and science promoted within the ABET program? ABET levels 1, 2, 3, and 4 in fact have mathematics and or mathematical literacy as learning outcomes within the makeup of that program. And in terms of our ABET challenges that we're facing currently, the MQA is trying to put together a very intensive program on monitoring the ABET situation within our sector. And in fact, recent visits to various providers, mining houses in the sector, is showing us that there is uptake, there is improvement in uptake of learners in some companies. Again, ABET 1, 2, we're still gapping a little bit with the pipeline into ABET 3 and 4. But in terms of the processes, and I'm sure legal wants to talk about it a little bit more, we're tracking and monitoring that process. So what I'm trying to say in terms of the math definitely is part of that program. The facilitators obviously are skilled to train that particular component within the ABET program. And the natural sciences is an outcome in the ABET level 4 program, so we start with the natural sciences at that level. So yes, there is definitely those outcomes, there's definitely a move towards assisting with the development of learning programs and learning material in that area as well. So we're putting out quite a bit of resources to try and get this thing successful, much more than it has been in the past. And how do we move? I think there was some clarity required from us, from one of the gentlemen one of the members of the committee, that we were quite silent on the movement from ABET 4. Do we just stop as a sector on ABET 4? Maybe it didn't come out clearly in our presentation, but there's definite pipeline movement from ABET 1, ABET 2, ABET 3, ABET 4 into NQS level 2 qualifications, which we as a sector deliver through learnership. So there's a lot of that happening. In fact, in the underground hard rock mining area, we have a level 2 qualification that's seen a huge upsurge of intake in this last year since the promulgation of the explosives regulation. So we've seen a lot of people come through ABET 4 and move on to the level 2 qualification. There's also level 2 qualifications in the engineering area. We're putting on the NQS at the moment level 2 qualifications in geology, survey, a whole host of support type skills areas. So there's definite movement into various of these specialization areas. And the last thing that I want to comment on and pick up on is somebody needed clarity on what we mean by employment to unemployment. And I think this is just a reference, and on that particular slide, it was our intention to bring to you what our strategies as the NQA are in terms of people that are being retrenched. So that is one of our key focus strategies. X minors, once they're unemployed, we offer them skills development in various other areas. I hope that clarifies what we meant by that bullet point in that particular slide. Do you think? get about coverage.
All right. Thanks. Yeah. Thanks, Honorable Chair. I'll just respond to some few questions which are outstanding. In terms of board, yes, DME has responded by appointing two women in our board. State has appointed one woman. DME has appointed two. Chamber of Business has appointed one. And Organized Labor has appointed one, too. And that was the pressure from the minister. And we hope there will be much more women coming into our board. Jitsa and Asgisa and Sagda, those are the challenges I spoke about earlier on about structural unemployment. We really find graduates who have technical qualifications and we take them through the graduate development program to make them employable. So our supply side for that is predominantly through Sagda. With Jitsa is that the present application I was talking about, which I've already done, to train about 1,100 learners for artisans in the artisan development pathway, is one of the Jitsa targets, which needs all CTAS to contribute to 50,000 artisans by the end of 2010. So we are contributing to that. Ex-mine workers in the Eastern Cape, we are only focusing on Nelson Mandela. No, not only Nelson Mandela. The ex-mine workers, the transition project, the one which deals with transition from employment to unemployment, is predominantly in OR Tambo. I've been twice to OR Tambo recently, last year. And the other practitioner training, all of them, they were from OR Tambo, they even came and graduated at UJ. We have very good rapport with both the municipal manager and the district municipality in the area. So probably in the issue of period and which financial year we are reporting. And what I sense from most honorable members is probably we need to submit after this a detailed report about our activities, contact numbers and details in each province. For example, I mean, in Northwest, where now I'm talking at the moment, Makosana District Municipality, I was there with the executive mayor 2 weeks back, I think. And there is a training program on beneficiation. And the beneficiation is around diamond sorting. So it is going on. In Limpopo, there is nothing really at next to Chikondeni Mine. I'm not sure which one is the district municipality there. But there's a project on small-scale mining in this year, which is running in Giani. And that's the project which are running. So we'll combine both our projects we did in 2005, 6, 7, and that which are running 7, 8. And we'll include the details and contact numbers out of that report. And we'll send through the committee so that it assists you when you visit those regions to know about those details. Major Bank, Teva, yes, the our accountant has responded. It's really the policy issue from government, but we'll go to our board and there is, inform them that there is this noble request which came from this committee so that we can consider it and maybe make a minimal investment in the Teva Bank. Skilling making beads. All the projects which I'm talking about, I agree we used to do them in the past. The small scale mining, the beneficiation, all of them, they're skills programs. And since they're skills programs, they are provided by accredited providers. For example, the Makosana District one, which is presented by an accredited provider, which we are accredited, we train, we develop the accredited, and accredited those providers, and all of them, they are women. And they are responsible for skills, most skilled mining. Even in the Eastern Cape, it's a woman-owned accredited provider who's running some of those projects. And maybe it goes us to the issue which came from KZN around what are we doing about accreditation. Accreditation is a tricky one because we want the providers to meet our requirements, which are not very the standards are not very low. They are actually very difficult to meet. And the challenge is that if we drop the standards, then I start immediately fighting with my bosses, the inspectorate of mine, because it links to safety, health and safety. But at the same time, we support. We support people to be assessors. We were recently, our corporate services, some 3-4 months back, he was in free aid with the district municipality around that area. And the discussion is around those people who want to be assessors and moderators. And we have agreed that in that area, if we have a sizable number of people in the different areas, we can conduct a training in the area. But you can find that the training we do, those people can't register with us because we are mining and minerals. They register as assessors and moderators for the different industries. The relationship with the Chamber of Mines, is in our board. Or one of the members of the board is the skills development manager of the Chamber of Mines. They are the important role players in the MTA. Bursaries for primary, for lower than university at the high school level and at that level, we don't. But in my list of mining charter targets, I indicated that we, in collaboration with the Department of Mineral and Energy, we have visited almost every part of this country. I think if I could make a check, we have hit each province more than thrice on the issue of careers exhibition. The last one was done at Fort Hare with the minister being there, and we're part of it. And really, it was to encourage the communities to take careers in mining and minerals. The trick with the careers in mining and minerals is that people who pass matric with mathematics and higher. So it's encouraged about those. So we compete as different industries to take those people to come in. So really, in terms of career passing, career advice, we participate drastically. With limited resources, we kind of a bazaars and universities and technicons, and then go to high school and lower level. And probably sometimes to avoid contradiction in government policy, where we say as government that we want free education to take place, and actually the MTA to start at the same time funding bursary at that level. But really our focus on bursary is at higher level. And all those people we fund for bursary, 100%, we ensure that they get employed, because in the critical and staff skills, immediately they complete. If they don't get employment, they go through the graduate development program, and within the short period of time they get employment. So we don't just train them. Exactly with learnership. Unemployed learners who get into the learnership program, most of them, a majority of them, about 70%, there is a report which is going to board now, 70% of them get employed by the very same employers they were attached to. And the other 20% move from one company to the other, and a small portion actually leaves the industry and go and work in other areas. And the criteria we use in unemployed learners, actually in February, immediately when we are going to be recruiting, we approach the provincial Department of Labor, because in terms of the Skills Development Act, the Department of Labor established a database of unemployed in different regions. We go to them. When we are running the previous NSF, we went to the Department of Labor, and the employers who were seeking people who want to participate in learnership couldn't find suitable candidates in the database of labor. And that's why we are encouraging. We are talking to almost everybody in every province in the Department of Labor to start recruiting and have databases which employers can get them. Otherwise, when they don't get them, it just delays our process, because subsequent to that, they employ them directly. So they advertise, they get somebody from Gauteng and go and be placed in Northwest and continue on that basis. So that is the thing which we have done. We are collaborating with each province through the Department of Labor. Equity profile, why is she female as assessor. I think it's a difficult one, and I've partially referred to it because our industry is not a very attractive one, and we are really trying at all levels. Some of the people we train, that's a practical example. The mining engineers, we give bursaries and they go and work underground in the mine. A majority of them, instead of being 2 kilometers underground and mining gold or diamonds or whatever there, and they end up in 14th floor in Sandton because it's easier to work there, or construction or so on and so forth. So the supply side and the retaining is also a challenge in the industry. And some of the interventions which we make don't end up benefiting us. It end up benefiting other industries. Not that we are complaining, but it's seen as if we are not making any major contribution. The issue from KZN that I have omitted on the issue of people with disability. Yes, it's true. I think this industry causes a lot of disability on top of that. There are some ad hoc projects which we run. At the moment, there's one running with Goldfields to train people with disability, particularly those who have been caused by the mines themselves, on different skills areas that beyond mining. I mean, it could building and a number of other areas. And actually, when we grant learners on learnership, we actually encourage the industry to use the mining charter targets in terms of HDI, women, and people with disability. Mineral beneficiation. I spoke about it. I spoke about mineral beneficiation and separately as a very important area we need to. I had a meeting with the CEO of State Diamond Trader to find a collaborative way, because both the jewelry, particularly the diamond processing industry, was actually a dead industry. It was actually dead. There was nothing going on. And we get a lot of signals, a number of people saying that we don't have skills. And whereas we have accredited diamond processing institutions, which says no, skills is not an issue. The challenge which they are confronted with is the supply of rough. And that's what the State Diamond Trader is coming to do, to address. And therefore, we just need to increase the number around that. I spoke about Western Cape, that we come here more often for jewelry manufacturing, and that's the area of beneficiation. But until the whole beneficiation strategy by government is finalized, as the MQA, since we provide support, we will be responding on piecemeal until we have a formal strategy by government, and then we'll have a support strategy coming from that. Stakeholders who don't attend farm meetings at zero, we will convey the message. It's not acceptable. We'll do that. Legal action taken against the MQA. These are the disputes when we had very serious financial problems, and the MQA decided to take on some of the projects where we had, I could say, indirect commitments. At the moment, the AG felt that we should put it in the annual report because the matter had just started. But at the moment, there are final negotiations going on, either as a settlement to continue one or other projects, or because most of them related to Abbott and also to mandatory grants. The procurement policy, I don't know whether our finance responded to it. Yeah, we have a clear procurement policy. It's approved. It has been audited. There's clear separate of function. I'll assume the honorable member wanted to find out whether there are clear separation of function. There are clear separation of function, and the AG and also our internal auditors have gone through the policies, and they are very comfortable with them. Transition from employment to unemployment, I spoke about it. That's the project when people have been retrenched and we train them. Practically, the OR Tambo example I'm putting forward, the OR Tambo example has been around Abet, has been around gold farming, has been around jewelry manufacturing, and a lot of other projects which are not related to mining. And some of those ex-miners, they don't want to be trained, so they send proxies. Since they've been sent back, retrenched and gone back, they don't want training or reskilling, so they send proxies, either as a son or the nephew or somebody else, to represent them around those areas. Permits and skills around this. This one area which we are not really picking up, we have just had a discussion with the regulation part of the DME to say probably we need to develop skill programs and qualifications around those issues. And training should start predominantly with the district municipalities. And then subsequent to that, the community must start to have understanding about how much power in terms of the law the district municipality has and how much opportunities they can derive out of the operations which are going to take place in their areas. Our learners, majority of them are youth, because predominantly the entrance to learnership programs are from FEC colleges with some technical qualifications. So predominantly they are youth, so the encouragement is to bring in women around that. Ex-mine workers in Chikondeni, I think I responded broadly around those issues of mining sending areas. The issue is that South Africa has a great need, particularly in this industry we are in. There is a great need to have a project. If we say we are going to satisfy all ex-mine workers, we'll go to Kimberley, there's a lot of them. What we are saying is that within the limited resources which we have, we can make some difference. We are not even attempting to say that we address all employees who have been retrenched, former employees who have been retrenched. Abet and numbers. Abet is a major challenge. Probably that slide is slightly misleading. It was referring to the plan, but it didn't refer to the issue of take-up, but it referred to completion. Completion is people who complete. People register and they don't complete, particularly 4 and 3, because level 4 and level 3 becomes heavier. So a lot of them, there are a lot of dropouts in the process. That's why even when we went to the learnership, the registered and the completions are lower. And some of them, they are on learnership, really is not really dropouts. It's really the length of time which cuts through the financial year. That it might may, but we are not saying that the ABET numbers are good. The ABET numbers are not good, and as industry and as board, we have brought the challenge to board to say that what should the industry do to be able to address that. I think I have covered all the questions which have been omitted, Honorable Chair, unless there is anyone who is here for a moment. Yeah.
The next one, the next page also says
training and build the capacity of small scale miners. You are 626 miners that were getting trained. And then your budget also was 500,000. You had planned to train 600. The remaining 474.
One of my questions has not been answered. And now when I'm looking at this strategic overview, I see there is a focus on development of current workforce, development of new entrants to the labor market. Alright, the question to me was about this
subcontractors.
I know those subcontractors are not represented by the chamber of mines. And those people, some of them are doing plastic. They do some of the part of the coal mining funding. I know that. So what is happening to
my last question on your coming to the Western Cape. We will stand for one. My question is, do you, when you go to do these places, even when it comes to payback or whatever, do you make sure that there's race representation properly, or would you train those that are selected by the company? I'm referring to this one here in Cape Town. When we went there, I don't think there were more than four African people.
There were two.
Hmm.
The gold one.
Yeah,
there were two.
Only two. It could have been a cover up because there were MCs coming. Might be something you overlook. If you could just tell me, there's something that I also have an interest in. If you look in your training. Let's leave it for now. Well, around the name.
I think really the presentation of project could be presented slightly better. You see the cut off of financial year and the delivery of some of those projects, they overlap. A majority of them were done towards the end of the financial year, and since they are skills programs, they must be completions. And they achieved was the completions, and some of the projects continue in the next financial year. We will just probably present them better next time. The pagination, we agree, will paginate the slides themselves, because the pagination has to do with the printing also. Subcontractors, that's a very difficult one. As the MTA, if you read the Skills Development Act and all the related parts, our system really is on the, we have the carrot but not the stick in terms of the law. So we would just provide the basis for either learnerships or skills program and so on and so on. And we say if you participate, we'll give you grants. And we incentivize you on those bases. And if subcontractors don't participate, it's unfortunate. And there are very few of them who participate in skills development. And that's the loopholes which we have at the moment. Because they are focused, they need to do the job and proceed on. But there are others who participate like any other mining operations. So from our side, I would say that we are aware about some of those activities, but we can't force them to say, let those employees have a blasting certificate, because they've been blasting all along. And actually, most of the time, we survive because of pressure from internal pressure from organized labor. Big organizations with established trade unions, they are the ones who take skills development seriously for their members, and employers are supposed to take them through the process. So that's very difficult for us to superimpose. Learners, do we consider the issue of race and gender when we award those grants and bursaries? I think it links directly to the thing which I've been talking about earlier on about the issue of the carrot and the stick. But if you look at our aggregate number of learnership, the aggregate number of our learnership, the total number, majority of them are historically disadvantaged. And about 25% are women. So we don't monitor per individual company, but generically, we have the numbers which support that we are encouraging the industry to lead. Let me make an example. When there is an application for grants, and the application far exceeds our requirement, we specify that we are going to allocate these grants on the basis of 1, 2, 3, and that's the most we can do. But if an employer proceeds and take a learner on learnership who's not getting grants, we have no control thereof. I don't have the specification of the details of the company you are talking about, but I thought I know most of the jewelry manufacturing companies here in town, and I would agree most of them, the African people, they are not that huge number out of the breakdown. Yeah. Thank you.
I tell you what, I'll try and get the name of the person. I'll send it to you so that you can check it. But I would really appreciate it if you could look at that, because you see, if anything, if you want to empower people, you must look at the history. You see, provinces differ. The Western Cape is another kind of a province, where you, it's the only province, in fact, in the country where you will find African people in the minority. Which disadvantage is an even better. So that's why I'm raising that question.
Yeah.
You see, because even though it has nothing to do with you, you went to another company in Hope Bay, a fishing company, the same happened. It was just come, because we were coming. So you could just pick up 1, 2, 3 people on the street, give them overalls to wear. That's the kind of situation we said, I'm talking about.
Can I add something to that? You know, this issue, when we were about to leave, Honorable Matola and I, we went to that man who was in charge there. He was showing us good things. We asked him, tell us, are there African people here? He said, yes, he said, but we can't see any. He opened the door, and two of them came out. Now, we asked, why are they two and the rest seem to be more than 50? Now, he said the following. In their schools, when they leave the school after form 5, they don't have technical knowledge. Now, we said, but these others, do they have? He said, yes. And we said, how about these two? He said, no, we just picked them up, we trained them, and that is why we managed to have them again. And then we said, why did you pick on two? He said, they were the only ones that we have here. And you can see that statement is just operational. For that purpose, hey, I don't think it's working.
Was that Oro Africa?
Sorry?
Is that Oro Africa?
I can't remember the name, but it's African.
Yeah, it's
African.
On the ladder.
And they drive up way straight.
They do chains only.
Yeah, they do
chains, rings.
Yeah.
I didn't see what you
no, it's
chains, rings, and you see the parliament mason.
That's right.
Both houses
yeah.
were made in that company. Well, they even showed that you should remember.
No, it's Oro Africa, Honorable Chair, and we don't have a single, we don't have a single liner in that.
Why?
It's for them to participate, and really, it's a, what do we call it? It's a major, it's a manufacturing, out of the learnership which we have. They are arguing that they are sort of like mass manufacturing industry, and they couldn't benefit from any. And we are having discussion with them so that we develop learnership to suit that industry. So all the employees who are there are just employees. So none of them are. They are not getting any grants from learnership from the NGO. Yeah. Right.
Let me put it differently. Maybe when you go back. To your offices, can you check a list of Cape Town or just Western Cape, or maybe let me not speak to my phone, just say provincial, just nationally
yeah.
and for progress, so that we will do our own.
Okay.
Yeah, let's put it that way. So that we don't confine it to the Western Cape. I'll speak for the Western Cape, we are not speak for Limpopo, and each one of us will speak for his or her province.
Okay.
Are we do we still have more questions members to ask? Anything you will die if you don't say no? All right. All right. The blind arranged, unfortunately we couldn't get lunch where you sit down and eat properly. But at least we'll do the finger lunch that you can take and sit down and eat. Will you have the permission to have for lunch?